In a few minutes, we'll speak with Sibel Edmonds, a former language specialist for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We'll hear about her court case, which was just advanced this week. The FBI has failed to aggressively investigate accusations of espionage against a translator at the Federal Bureau of Investigation and fired the translator's co-worker in large part for bringing the accusations, according to the Justice Department's Inspector General, who concluded this on Friday. This according to today's New York Times report by Eric Lichtblau, who continues in a long-awaited report the Justice Department sought for months to keep classified. The Inspector General issued a sharp rebuke to the FBI over its handling of claims of espionage and ineptitude made by Sibel Edmonds. Sibel Edmonds is a bureau translator who was fired in 2002 after superiors deemed her conduct, quote-unquote, disruptive. Ms. Edmonds, who translated material in Turkish, Persian, and Azerbaijani, had complained about slipshod translations and management problems in the Bureau's translation section and raised accusations of possible espionage against a fellow linguist. The report from the office of Glenn A. Fine, the Justice Department's Inspector General, reached no conclusions about whether Ms. Edmonds' co-worker had actually engaged in espionage, and it did not give details about the espionage accusations because they remain classified. But officials have said Ms. Edmonds said the co-worker, a fellow Turkish linguist, had blocked the translation of material involving foreign acquaintances of hers who had come under suspicion. In general, Mr. Fine's investigation found that many of Ms. Edmonds' accusations, quote, were supported, that the FBI did not take them seriously enough, and that her allegations were, in fact, the most significant factor in the FBI's decision to terminate her services, end quote. Again, continuing from today's New York Times by Eric Lichtblau, Ms. Edmonds' case has become a cause célèbre for critics who accuse the Bureau of retaliating against her and other whistleblowers who have sought to expose management problems related to the campaign against terrorism. The American Civil Liberties Union joined her cause earlier this week, asking an appellate court to reinstate a whistleblower lawsuit she brought against the government. The suit was dismissed last year after Attorney General John Ashcroft, invoking a rarely used power, declared her case to be a matter of, quote, state secret, end quote, privilege, and the Justice Department retroactively classified a 2002 congressional briefing about it. Responding to the investigation's calls for improvements in the management of translation services, the FBI said yesterday that it had taken steps to reorganize the operation and instituted a, quote, competency model, end quote, for hiring and training translators. A broader review by the Inspector General released in September had found systematic problems in the FBI's translation capabilities and large backlogs in its translation of terrorism-related material. The FBI also said yesterday it was continuing to investigate Ms. Edmonds' claims and restated its commitment to ensuring that whistleblowers who raise good faith concerns do not face retaliation. Ms. Edmonds said she viewed the Inspector General's report as, quote, an absolute vindication, end quote. I'm very glad to be able to welcome to the program Sibel Edmonds. Welcome to Sounds of Dissent.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Sibel Edmonds joins us live from the Washington, D.C. area. And I'm curious to just start out by asking you, Sibel Edmonds, what your plans are for continuing lawsuits and investigations after the court rulings this week.
Well, as you know, this battle has been going on for 3 years now. And as you know, again, we have several lawsuits under Freedom of Information Act trying to get these documents released so that the American people will have these documents. I know what this information is all about, but the American people have to have this information. We have a First Amendment lawsuit, and as you just stated, the Attorney General invoked this rarely invoked so-called state secret privilege, citing certain sensitive foreign business relations and diplomatic relations that may get hurt as a result of discussing these these issues and allegations. Well, we are continuing. As you know, we just filed our appeal of the state secret privilege about 3 days ago on Wednesday, January 12th. In addition to that, there will be several amicus briefs in support of my case, which will be filed by 9/11 family member groups and various government watchdog organizations. And again, I started a petition online, and we are collecting signatures to get the Congress to exercise their oversight authority to do what they're supposed to be doing by holding open public hearings and investigating this case. As you know, Attorney General Ashcroft retroactively classified all their investigations and their findings, and basically he gagged the Congress on these issues and allegations. So we are doing a lot of things.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Sibel Edmonds, a former language specialist for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Sibel Edmonds, when did you begin working for the FBI at the first time?
I started about a few days after September 11, 2001. I officially started on September 20th, 2001.
And were you hired specifically in a program that was related to investigating what led up to September 11th, 2001?
No, although that basically covered maybe 65-70% of what I did. I did other investigations. I translated for other investigations, counterintelligence, criminal. So performed interview translations with certain detainees. So I basically performed within all the areas that are covered by the FBI in terms of all sorts of investigations.
When Attorney General Ashcroft took the very unusual step in American history of classifying something that had already been made public, that is, retroactively classifying something which was a public 2002 congressional briefing that had already been reported on in newspapers and elsewhere, did that then limit the amount that you could talk about certain subjects?
Well, of course it does. And not only that, that action is illegal. What he did was illegal, and this is based on our laws, because the information that has been available for 2 years cannot be retroactively classified. Also, you get into the area of checks and balances. Here you have the executive branch going and officially gagging the Congress, our legislative branch. So, yes, it does. And it was very interesting. Attorney General Ashcroft, he did this. He made this move after 9/11 family members' attorneys deposed me. They subpoenaed my deposition. And they just rushed because 2 years before that, two senators, Senator Grassley, Republican from Iowa, and Senator Leahy, they confirmed my allegations after having these unclassified meetings with the FBI, basically saying that during these unclassified meetings, the Bureau confirmed all Ms. Edmonds' allegations. So in order to do this damage control, they basically broke the law by going and retroactively classifying that information after 2 years, and also forbidding the Congress to investigate this case further or even discuss this case.
As you mentioned, Senators Patrick Leahy of Vermont and Charles Grassley of Iowa, the latter a Republican, have been FBI critics for some time, and this report, the New York Times even indicates, underscores their concerns about the Bureau's treatment of dissenters, particularly on critical matters involving terrorism and espionage. Sibel Edmonds, did you have within the FBI or the retired community of FBI any support among current or former FBI employees?
Oh, absolutely. And their numbers keep growing. We had a press conference actually about 3 months ago, and I prepared this letter, and this letter was co-signed by several 25 people, actually, 11 of them from the FBI, and you're looking at counterintelligence, former veteran counterterrorism agents, various FBI whistleblowers, and also those employees who have just either retired or they have resigned because they just could not put up with what's going on in there any longer. And in fact, on daily basis, they contact me. New people contact me and either provide information either to me or to my attorneys, and they are ready to testify. And that is the importance of this lawsuit that we started. The main purpose for it is to have this day in court, to bring and introduce these documents, put the witnesses on the stand, to depose people, and to have, you know, to have all this stuff accomplished publicly so that the American public gets to see this.
Sibel Edmonds, for some time, some observers believed that after John Ashcroft's retroactive classification of the 2002 congressional briefing about the information that you'd raised, some observers believed that even the languages you speak or translated are classified. And the New York Times today publishes them as Turkish, Persian, and Azerbaijani. Not that that wasn't on the record in other locations before, but I wonder if you sometimes find yourself in a kind of a looking glass land in trying to deal in a legal manner with all of this.
Well, of course. I mean, first of all, even Senator Grassley came out and very strongly called these classifications ridiculous. I mean, I was asked about the languages I speak, I had to answer it this way. Well, I cannot tell you whether or not I speak Turkish. I cannot tell you whether or not I speak Farsi. It just shows you this whole logic and rationale behind classification. It's not really to protect any major sensitive information, but they just assert these capriciously because they can get away with it. And yet, despite the system of checks and balances that we are supposed to be having in place, you end up having judges complying with these classifications, which is outrageous, because once they came and they said even the languages I speak are classified, even the topic of my master degree thesis is classified, well, the Judge Reggie Walton complied with that and said, yes, they are classified. Therefore, people who are subpoenaing my deposition cannot ask me these questions. It is so Kafkaesque.
Can you tell us the name or anything about your fellow translator at the FBI?
Well, actually, the name has been out, and in fact, the Bureau started leaking this information about a few weeks after they fired me. I came across in my name and other people involved, including the agents in Washington Post in June, July 2002. So the name has been out. It's Malik Ken Dickerson. And also the fact that her husband also is and was under investigation by DOD because of possible security breaches. And again, he had also top secret clearance and access to secret military information.
And what's his name?
Major Douglas Dickerson. And as you know, both people, husband and wife, they hastily left the United States in August 2002, and they are not coming back. Nobody knows where they are. And yet they are saying, well, now the Bureau is going to go back and reinvestigate these cases. Well, first of all, we have lost several targets of investigations. They left the country in February 2002, March 2002. This translator, she left the country hastily in August 2002. What are they going to be investigating after 3 years?
So the husband and wife left separately in early and mid 2002?
Correct.
And it's not known publicly where they are in the world now?
Currently, no. Initially, we were told by DOD that there was an assignment and they would be in Belgium. But right now, nobody knows where they are.
And Major Douglas Dickerson worked for the Department of Defense. And in what capacity?
Well, it had to do with weapon procurement by certain Middle Eastern and Central Asian countries, such as Uzbekistan and maybe I shouldn't be naming countries, but there are certain Middle Eastern and Central Asian countries. Those countries procure weapons from us, and the deals that has to be going through for that to take place.
You mentioned earlier in the program United States government concerns and also United States corporation concerns involved with this case. And I wonder what corporations have been in any way involved with any of the people that we're talking about.
You see, I cannot name names, okay, and that's clear. However, I have been emphasizing this fact. For example, the IG report, yes, they are talking about the core issues and allegations, but as they emphasize themselves in this report does not have all the facts. It does not have all the cases and allegations because they have been classified. For example, they are not even mentioning what targets are we talking about. When we say, for example, that Dickerson worked with and had relationship with certain targets of FBI investigations, the question is, who were those targets? Well, I know who those targets were, and I have referred to them to the state as certain semi-legit organizations. And these organizations have relationship to the state even now with high-level people here in this country, with other corporations in this country. And when I say semi-legit, yes, they have very legit fronts. However, certain activities that they carry out are absolutely criminal, and some of them are linked to terrorist activities. And it is very hypocritical for the Attorney General Ashcroft to say, well, these cases won't be investigated because these cases, if we investigate them, it will hurt certain sensitive diplomatic or foreign business relations. Look, 3,000 people died, right? September 11 happened. We, the people, we are being asked to compromise from our civil liberties and from our freedom because of this national security and the terror threat, right? On the other hand, they are saying they are not going to investigate certain people because it would hurt certain sensitive diplomatic relations. Well, they cannot have it both ways.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Sibel Edmonds, former FBI translator, who began working just a few days after September 11th, 2001, translating for the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Turkish, Farsi, and Azerbaijani. She had complained about slipshod translations at the FBI and management problems in the Bureau's translation section and raised accusations of possible espionage against a fellow linguist, who is Malachan Dickerson, if I have that name correct, Sibel Edmonds?
Yes, correct.
This according, again, to today's New York Times. This case has been being reported for the last 2 to 3 years. And, again, strange parts of the story emerging, partly due to the fact that Attorney General John Ashcroft retroactively classified the 2002 congressional briefing about the issue. John Ashcroft said that the case was a matter of state secret privilege. And I'm just curious, Sibel Edmonds, in the American Civil Liberties Union had recently joined the lawsuit that you and others had filed. Tell us about the recent success this week and where you see it going from here in the courts.
Well, to a certain degree, this IG report vindicated me, and it also confirmed core major allegations. And this is going to be very helpful with our court case, because they are going and telling the judges that there is this mosaic theory out there. Therefore, no aspect of my case can be discussed in court, so the judge has to throw out the whole case, the entire case, without having any depositions, any discovery. So this absolutely will help. And more than that, what this is going to help us with is the Congress. So this was the first step, basically. After 2 years of delay, finally it produced some kind of a report, some kind of a result. But what the next move is our Congress, and I keep emphasizing these. I mean, you mentioned senators being very agitated with the Attorney General's actions and sending letters to the Attorney General, but they have more power than that. They have the oversight authority, okay? They can demand action, and that's what we need. We need to see that our Congress is demanding action. That's their job. It is their job. They are supposed to be representing the people. And what happened to the notion of government of the people, by the people, for the people? Do you see it that way today? Because it really has become this separate entity in its own by itself. And it's just being every day more and more removed from the public domain. It's not within the public. It is not by the people, and they are not acting in the best interest of the people.
The American Civil Liberties Union's press release yesterday describes the unclassified summary of the Justice Department's Inspector General, the John Ashcroft's own department's Inspector General, that report into the termination of Sybil Edmonds was released yesterday and concluded that Sybil Edmonds was fired for reporting serious breaches and misconduct in the agency's translation program. The American Civil Liberties Union is saying that the allegations were not taken seriously enough. The Department of Justice reports this. And we're in this odd situation where and the American Civil Liberties Union has already earlier this week described how the United States government is abusing state secrets privilege, as it says, to cover up national security blunders. There's a whistleblower, John Cole, and another, Frederick Whitehurst, who support this case. Several senators do as well. And the families of September 11th victims, as well as the Project on Government Oversight and many others, they'll all be joining, many of them will be joining a friend of the court briefing filed later this month. There'll be an interview and more information coming about this at the National Press Club in a little while, on January 26th, I guess, in 11 days. Sybil Edmonds, I'm curious what you see coming over the course of the next year. I know a lot of this depends on lawsuits and cases that have yet to be decided. You're probably focusing specifically just on next steps over the next few weeks. But there's been some recent success in the ruling this week. And I wonder if that gives you a sense, a new sense that it's possible to take a look at the issues involved and the stories behind the issues now.
Well, first of all, they have learned, and this is the Department of Justice and those who want to cover up this information, that I am not going away. I have not gone away for 3 years, and now it is turning to a movement. As you said, we're going to be having this press conference on Wednesday between 12 and 2 p.m. at the National Press Club here in Washington, D.C., and you will see various government watchdog organizations such as POGO, Project on Government Oversight, GAP, Government Accountability Project, Citizen Watch, and the ACLU. You will be seeing various 9/11 family members who have joined my cause, who have joined this case, and they are going to be demanding action from our government. And of course, we're going to have plenty of whistleblowers, not only from the FBI, but also from the CIA and FAA and Customs. And we're going to be speaking for the American people and to the American people. And as I said, it is becoming a movement. So I'm expecting to see more progress because we are going to demand action. We're going to demand it loud and clear. And we are pursuing all channels, all available channels, be it the Congress, be it the courts through various lawsuits, be it through the demanding action by the Department of Justice and their district attorneys to start criminal investigations into these cases and open investigations. And also, as more importantly, the most important target being, you know what, the American people. And I have said it many times before, for the first 2 years when I took these issues to the United States Congress, to the Inspector General's office, to the 9/11 Commission, I went into these rooms, they call them SCIFs, these high-security rooms where you can talk about classified documents. And I sat back and just waited for these people to take the appropriate actions to do something. But then I gave up. 7-8 months ago, I decided it was going to happen. And this only has a chance to achieve what needs to be done, what needs to be achieved through the public and their demand and the American people.
Sybil Edmonds, how did you know that your fellow former translator, Malachan Dickerson, outside of your work in the FBI as translator?
Well, actually, I really didn't know. What happened was the agent that I worked for and I worked with, who oversaw, you know, the Turkish department, he actually raised the flag initially by coming to other translators and myself and telling us, pointing out to the fact that hundreds, if not thousands, of communications from certain targets that were being wiretapped were being stamped regularly as not pertinent to be translated. Because as a translator, you have that freedom. You can judge based on, you know, based on your own opinion that, okay, certain things, certain communication should not be translated because it's not worth anything. Maybe it's about somebody's sex life. I don't know. And that these were hundreds and thousands of pages. So he asked us to go back and retrieve that communications and start retranslating, see whether or not there was anything pertinent in there. And as we started doing that, we came across a huge amount of very pertinent information. At that point, this agent went and asked the security department to give him the background checks and the file in this particular translator. Then we had a meeting on this, and we found out, in fact, this person had unreported, ongoing relationships with not one, several high-level, high targets of FBI investigations.
Who are those targets?
I can't talk about that. That is classified, but they should. When I say they, this is the FBI and the Department of Justice. You know, when they are talking about money laundering activities, when they are talking about people with ties to certain activities, criminal activities, terrorist activities against this country, they need to start talking about all of them and not discriminate against, you know, certain things, saying, well, these people, we have certain relationship with, we're not going to touch these people.
But those high-level targets had ties with Malakhan Dickerson?
Correct. In fact, before joining the FBI, Dickerson was working for one of these semi-legit organizations up until 2001. I mean, this is so ridiculous, because once the Senate Judiciary Committee asked the FBI to go back, you know, to their offices and brief them, and the senators brought up this issue and said, well, how could you hire a translator and grant top secret clearance to this person when this person actually ended up working before joining you for your target organization, for a target organization, and have ongoing relationship with these people? And you know what the FBI's answer was? She did not declare those employment, et cetera, in her application. When somebody grants you top secret clearance, they go 10 years back. They look at your tax records. They check with your neighbors. They have to talk to all your employers. Yet, the FBI went by only application and granted top secret clearance. And again, this is confirmed. You can go back and pull out those retroactively classified letters, and they are all available on thousands of websites. And you would see that the senators came out in July and August 2002 and said FBI confirmed that, yes, this person, in fact, worked for the target organization.
Sybil Edmund.
You cannot protect the FBI. And these people want to protect our country. They can't even protect their own agency.
Sybil Edmonds, I'm afraid we've run out of time. I look forward to speaking with you again, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Same here, and please go to the website, www.justacitizen.com, and sign the petition, because that's one thing that we can do as citizens.
Thank you very much. Sybil Edmonds' new website is justacitizen.org. Let me double check that's the actual... I'm sorry. It's justacitizen.com. You can find it on the World Wide Web. New just this week, Sybil Edmonds, former translator for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You're tuned to WZBC in Newton, 90.3 FM. The program is Sounds of Dissent. My name is John Grebe.